Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mutiraye. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the Best Among Exalted Devotees. And today is text number 1. Sri Narada Uvacha Bhakti Yogasya Tatsarvam Bhakti Yogasya Tatsarvam. Antaratyataya Antarayataya Antarayataya Arbakaha Antarayatayarbakaha Antarayatayarbakaha Antarayata Yarbhakaha Manyamano Hrishikesham Manyamano Hrishikesham Smayamana Uvachaha Smayamana Uvachaha Sri Narada Uvacha Bhakti Yogasya Tat Sarvam Antarayata Yarbhakaha Manyamano Rishikesham Smayamana Uvachaha Sri Narada Uvacha Bhakti Yogasya Tat Sarvam Antarayat Yarbhakaha Manyamano Hrishikesham Smayamana Uvachaha. Sri Narada Uvacha Tat Sarvam Kaha Manyamano Rishikesham Namuvachaha Sri Narada Uvacha Bhakti Yogasya Tat Sarvam Antaryayat Yarbhakaha Mayamana Yarbhakaha Vaishnavis. Sri Narada Uvacha Bhakti Yogasya Tat Sarvam Antarayata Yarbhakaha Manyamano Hrishikesham Smayamana Uvachaha Sri Narada Uvacha Bhakti Yogasya Tat Sarvam Antarayata Yarbhakaha Manyamana Rishikesham Smayamana Uvachaha Srinarda Uvacha. Narada Muni said, Bhakti Yogasya, of the principles of devotional service, Tat, those blessings or benedictions offered by Lord Nrsimhadev. Sarvam, each and every one of them. Antarayataya, because of being impediments on the path of bhakti yoga. Arabakaha, Prahlad Maharaj, although only a boy. Manyamanaha, considering. Hrishikesham, unto Lord Nrsimhadev. Smayamanaha, smiling. Uvacha, said. Ha, in the past. Translation. The saint Narada Muni continued, although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, when he heard the benedictions offered by Lord Nrsimhadev, he considered them impediments on the path of devotional service. Thus he smiled very mildly and spoke as follows. Would you like to repeat? Trivita would. Everyone else remained quiet. The saint Narada Muni continued, although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, when he heard the benedictions offered by Lord Nrsimhadev, he considered them impediments on the path of devotional service. Thus he smiled very mildly and spoke as follows. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Material achievements are not the ultimate goal of devotional service. The ultimate goal of devotional service is love of Godhead. Therefore, although Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj, and many other devotee kings were materially very opulent, they accepted their material opulence in the service of the Lord, not for their personal sense gratification. Of course, possessing material opulence is always fearful, because under the influence of material opulence, one may be misdirected from devotional service. Nonetheless, a pure devotee, anya abhilashita shunyam, is never misdirected by material opulence. On the contrary, whatever he possesses, he engages 100% in the service of the Lord. When one is allured by material possessions, they are considered to be given by Maya. But when one uses material possessions fully for service, they are considered God's gifts or facilities offered by Krishna for enhancing one's devotional service. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Pishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katahmayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Varshavana Videvi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Pravave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dwanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Padambu Jayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbhava Bhomestvam Nirdesa Sajjana Priya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Krupa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Materakati Matsarva Swapadambojau Radha Manana Mohano Divya Vrindaranya Kalpadramadha Srimad Ratnangara Singhasanasto Srimad Radha Shila Govinda Devo Prishtali Bi Sevyamano Smarami Srimandra Sarasarambi Vamshivatatatastita Karshan Venu Swaner Gopir Gopinatha Shriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindayai Tulsi Debhyai Priyayai Keshavasya Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi Satyavachaya Namo Namaha Sri Nishinga Jai Nishinga Jai Jai Narasingha Praladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata Abhyutana Madharmasya Tadatmanam Srijamyaham Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam Dharma Samstapanartaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mami Vaishyasti Yukvayvam Atmanam Apparayanaha Sarvadharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja Ahang Tong Sarva Papebhyo Mokshay Shami Masujaha Shushusha Sharadhanasya Vasudeva Katarchi Syan Mahat Sevaya Bipra Punyatirta Nishevanad Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantaksto Hyabhadrani Vitunoti Suhritsatam Nashta Praeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Tada Rajasthamo Bhava Kama Lobadayaschaye Chaitaitera Navidham Stitam Satwe Prasidati Evam Prasanna Manaso Bhagavad Bhakti Yogataha Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukha Sangasya Jayate Vidyate Hridaya Grantis Chijante Sarva Samshaya Shiyante Chasya Karmani Drishte Vatmanishvare Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sri Naruvacha Bhakti Yoga Sitat Sarvam Antarayatariyarbhakaha Manyamano Hrishikesham Smayamana Uvachaha. The Saint Narada Muni continued, although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, when he heard the benedictions offered by Lord Nrisimhadev, he considered them impediments on the path of devotional service. Thus he smiled very mildly and spoke as follows. And in the first line of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that material achievements are not the ultimate goal of devotional service. Those who do have material desires are advised by Shukadev Goswami that they should still approach Krishna, because sapare chakshukram akayam avranam asnaviram shudham apapaviram kavirmanishi paribhuswa imbur yatat yatatortan viradashasvat chashvatibhya samabhyaha. Krishna is the supreme pure. He is antiseptic and prophylactic. When one approaches him, then one's desires become purified. Akama sarvakama va mokshakama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one has all material desires or no material desires, or desires liberation, he should approach the personality of Godhead. And also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, yam krodha kama sahaja pranayadi piti vatsalya moha guru gaurava sevya bhavai sanchintitasya sadrishintanam apurete govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. Lord Brahma says that whether one approaches Krishna out of fear, yam krodha kama, out of desire, out of anger, out of natural friendly love, and so forth, he becomes purified just by approaching Krishna, because Krishna is the supreme pure. We see in the case of Putana, she approached Krishna with a desire to kill him. But later on, Uddhava in the Srimad Bhagavatam, or in his prayers, Uddhava says, Aho Bhakiyam Stanakalakutam. Oh, how wonderful it is that Bhaki, the sister of Bhakasura, had approached Krishna to kill him with poison on her breast, and he didn't consider the fact that he was trying to kill her. He just considered that she came as a mother, and therefore he awarded her a position as a mother in the spiritual world. And in describing that pastime, Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna accepts the best of what one has to offer and doesn't consider the other parts. So even in the beginning of the, when one becomes aware that there's more to life than satisfying one's own senses, however, there may be an interim period where one doesn't have the power to give up sense gratification. Krishna allows one to offer whatever one has, whatever one's normal course of life, whatever one uses in one's normal course of life in his service. Therefore, he says in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, yet karoshi yad ashnashi, yet johosi didasi, yet tapasyasti konti, yet tat kurushva manarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give it away. Whatever austerities you perform, do it as an offering unto me. And then as one connects those things to Krishna, they gradually become purified. However, a devotee who has realized his or her self-interest, which is to that Krishna is the soul of my soul, Atmanam Akilatmanam. This is a revelation given to us by Shukadev Goswami near the end of the 14th chapter in the 10th canto, that Krishna is the soul of all souls. Therefore, when he says, I'm attracted to my body and my family and my nation and my football team and my car because I project myself into it and I think that's me. So he says, what about the self of yourself, the very source of your soul? How much attracted you'll be to him, to Krishna? Atmanam Akilatmanam. He's the source of all souls. He's the maintainer of all souls also. Nityo nityanam, chetanas chetananam, ekobahunam, yovididhati kaman. And in awakening, in a state of awakening in Krishna consciousness, there's a sense of of gratitude, profound gratitude, and also of placing one's self-interest, of realigning one's self-interest and one's activities by giving everything to Krishna. Because, as Prahlad Maharaj says, Naivatmana Prabhurayam Nijalabhapurno, that although Krishna is full in himself, and it's not for his benefit that we offer anything, when the devotee gives something to the Lord, then the devotee benefits. This is the revelation, as one awakens in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, the same desires are there. However, they become transferred and one becomes interested in serving Krishna's senses because he realizes that's in my self-interest. Everyone's self-interested. It's just a matter of the misplaced self through the false ego or actually realizing Jeev Krishna Das Abhishwash. If you have this faith, Abhishwash, Kolator or Dukho Nai, all your misery will be gone. Duk means misery. It also means the etymology of the word is that there's a spoke that's out of place. So the wheel doesn't run properly. There's friction and bumping everywhere you go. Sound familiar, material world? Or is it just me? So, dukkha. But if I just make this one adjustment, I direct my desires towards Krishna. Whatever I have in my possession, I say, that's yours. Krishna, that's yours. That's not mine. And I direct my desires toward pleasing Krishna's senses. Then that's love. Atmendriya priti vansha tari balikam. Krishnendriya priti icha Dari Prem Nam. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says these are two sides of desire. One side is that my own senses, Atmendriya Priti, mine, my senses. At the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, it all starts with Dharma Kshetri, Kuru Kshetri, Samaveta Yuyutsava, Mamaka Pandavaschaiva. This is the problem at Kurukshetra that Dhritarashtra is seeing a difference between your sons and my sons. And those are mine. So that's a problem for you now, because that's your thing. And you want it for your own sense gratification. Therefore, that's Atmendriya Priti. For my senses, I have affection. For my kids, I have affection. Everyone else can go to hell. When people get blown up overseas and they're not Americans, who cares? We don't count the numbers. But if one American gets killed, everyone, you know, starts calling their congressman and saying, you know, what's the problem? One of us got killed and things like that. I have this affinity for those people related to my body. So this is Atmendriya Priti, Vansha. There's a desire that I have to fulfill and I become a Kamakami. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita near the end of the second chapter, Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadvat. Tavat kamayam pravishanti sarve sa shantam apnoti na kamakami. He said, don't be a kamakami. There may be desires and they're entering into the mental system all the time, but don't chase them. That's a kamakami. He chases after them. And as we were speaking yesterday, Prahlad Maharaj describes this as a person who is chasing after mirage. This is called mriga trishni rupa. Mriga means the deer. So the deer in the desert sees the illusion of water and he chases after it. And then he dies. This is the pursuit of material desires. One after another, they come to us. But a self-realized person is not faked out by those desires and doesn't chase after them and doesn't contemplate them either. And this is the most valuable information given. Of course, it's all the most valuable information given in the Bhagavad Gita, but jayato vishayan pumsam sangas teshu pajayate. Krishna tells how one becomes degraded, how a soul that's the same quality as Krishna, although vulnerable, can fall down into the material consciousness and become degraded and be profaned, although one is actually part of the spiritual world, and that is by contemplating the objects of the senses. Jayato. So to contemplate, it's an interesting concept, you actually have to think there's something in it for you. Otherwise, you don't contemplate it. If you look at it and there's no connection to it, there's no sangha, there's an asanga, there's a disconnect because you think, that's not me, that's not for me. But if you look at it and say, that's for me, if your mind and intelligence line up and say, I'm going to think about that one for a while because maybe I can get it, that's the problem. Jayato vishayan pumsam sangas teshu, but then you develop a sangha, now it's your problem. Now you got a problem. Jayato vishayan pumsam. So there's no problem if we don't misidentify ourselves with the false, through the false ego, with all kinds of material things, including the body. And I don't think in terms of I and mine. And therefore, there's a principle that Rupa Goswami gives in relationship to this verse. Anasaktasya vishayan yatarham upayunjita nirbanda krishna sambande yuktam vairagnyamuchite prapanchikattaya buddhya hari sambandhi vasina mumukshavi prityago vairagyam phalgukatyate. And that is that you can walk through the whole world. You can live in a palace. It doesn't matter. As long as you understand how everything's properly placed and that everything's meant to be used in Krishna's service. This is sannyas. Nyas means where you place everything. Everything is placed and a place for everything. So nyas means, like when you put on your tilak, you're putting everything in its place. There's a nyas. Keshavaya namaha, narayanam, madhavaya, govindaya. If you know where everything goes, there's no problem for you. It all goes to Krishna. That's the simple process. And if you reject things, on the other hand, that could have been used for Krishna, then you're a false renunciate. You didn't get it. You're standing in line at the store. You see the man in front of you drop a $100 bill. Now you have a couple choices. One is you can pick it up, in which case you're a thief. That's a materialistic person. Said, looks at the material world, looks around, goes, yeah, that's all mine. I'll get as much as I can. And the other person could just leave it there, in which case your integrity is not quite complete because you knew where it came from, right? And then the third person taps him on the shoulder, says, here, take it back. You drop this. Which feels better anyway to y'all? Huh? Giving it back. Doesn't feel good to me. I once bought some arms for my chair that fell apart, and the guy said, go try them. If they work, then you can bring me back the money. So, you know, I tried them, they worked, and then I had to go traveling, and I was gone for about a month. And then I came back, and I was thinking, he probably thinks that I took off on him. So he went back to the store dutifully, and I gave him his money. I said, they worked. And I was just turning around to walk out, and he goes, really, thanks for coming back. And suddenly I felt good. And I thought, that's an intangible way of actually growing. You know, you do the right thing. You connect to the right, you connect in the right thing. Give it back, you know, where it goes. I could have kept the money, but it was a paltry amount. It was $25. It wouldn't have meant much. But actually giving it back, connecting it, meant a lot. So it's meaningful when we connect everything to Krishna. We feel full, actually. We grow. We become a whole person. We have full integrity. If you have complete integrity, because you know where everything goes and you connect it. Isavasamidam sarvam yat kincha jagat yam jagat tena tek tena bhunjita magrita kassa sitanam. Everything animate or inanimate within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which is set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. So I'll just take some questions and reflections. Dravida Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
So there's a kind of a paradox here, because,
as you mentioned,
when we understand philosophy that Krishna is the soul of our soul, he's the real self with capital S, and if we want to please ourself in the deepest sense, we should serve Krishna. We should dedicate everything to Krishna. Now we're serving our not self in the sense of the senses or the extensions of the senses like that. So that's why we're not happy, because we're serving our not self. So now I've got it all in my mind. I understand, okay, I'm going to serve Krishna because I know that's going to really please me. Right? Now you actually said something like that. I know I should serve Krishna to please me. But what happened to the love? In other words, it's kind of, all right, I know Krishna's the supreme person I've got. I'm going to serve him because he's the self of myself in here. But you see that...
I said something like that, but I didn't say that.
excuse me. Could you clarify? Because it seems like...
Well...
It's still a
self-centered thing. I'm just saying what Shukadeva Goswami says at the end of the 14th chapter, and that is that we are selves, and therefore we have a self-interest. But when we realize that we're part and parcel of Krishna, he's the whole and we're the part, then we're perfectly in harmony with giving everything to Krishna, and it no longer becomes a profane act. It never, it's no longer disconnected. It's connected to Krishna. But there is a way in which, as is being exhibited in this chapter, that the devotee is so full, as soon as one contemplates giving everything to Krishna, one feels satisfaction. And earlier, Prahlad Maharaj says to his friends that the moment you start thinking about satisfying yourself, then you feel dissatisfaction. But the devotee, out of love, is giving to Krishna because he has free choice. He can take it himself or he can give it to Krishna. And in selfless acts, which means not keeping it for one's self, small s, and giving it to Krishna, there's a choice. And we decide to surrender to Krishna. And that's out of love. Out of love. That for you, not for me. And as one goes through material existence, as I was saying, there's a progression. And Krishna says in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that you should think of me all the time and just meditate on me. That requires intense love, that you're just thinking about the beloved. But if you can't do that, practice the rules and regulations of devotional service. Come to that point. If you can't do that, then give something that you have now, and you'll develop that. And if you can't do that, then just be charitable. And if you can't do that, then try sacrificing the fruits of your work and so forth. Because the point is that we're servants. We're meant to give. And as we do, we develop a sense that I'm growing, and I'm out of a sense of love, we give to Krishna. No longer do I have any sense of self-interest, that I'm trying to get something for myself. In fact, it's mentioned in Prabhupada's lecture to in the previous chapter that the highest devotion is that exhibited by the gopis, Ramya Kachidupasano Rajavidu Vargainaval Kulpita, that they didn't consider anything for themselves. They could go to hell for Krishna, for all they were concerned. They had no self-interest. And that's the nature of love. It's completely about giving oneself and everything one has. Do you want to follow up?
Thank you for that illuminating answer. But there's one aspect of it that...
What answer?
Illuminating.
Illuminating. Okay.
Illuminating. What I was getting at is there seems to be a progression from Vaidhi Bhakti to spontaneous. In other words, one of the things that Karma Yoga, okay, I'm sacrificing. That way I'm not getting any sinful reactions in the third chapter. But the Bhakti is Yoga is this complete process beginning with hearing and chanting and remembering. And if you hear and chant and remember, that's also our duty. But then you actually awaken some attraction for Krishna. In other words, there's two aspects. One is what I must do and should do, and one is what I just have to do, I want to do. Right? So to go from I must and I should to I want to because I actually love Krishna, that's going from Vaidhi into spontaneous. And I think that's the part that, because if you just say, okay, the self for the self, okay, I'll do. But that's kind of philosophical.
Let me just answer that, and then Prahladananda Swami has. When I'm speaking about our self-interest in material life being transferred to self-interest in spiritual life, I'm thinking in terms of how Rupa Goswami presents, for instance, in the Padyavali, many, many verses, like yuvatinam yata yuni yunam cha yuvatal yata mano biramate tadvan mano me ramatam twai. Just as young boys are attracted to young girls and young girls are attracted to young boys, let me also be attracted to you spontaneously like that. So he's comparing the two. He's saying, just like in the attraction of material life, I want that same spontaneous kind of attraction to you. So he does give the comparison of the two. Prahladananda Swami?
It's not that simply by wanting to love Krishna that automatically we love Krishna. There's a process of loving Krishna, learning to love Krishna, namely to hear submissively and then understand things properly and then to execute our service, as it says, with care and attention. So that care and attention is the manifestation of our love. And when Krishna sees that, then he reveals himself to us, and then our love actually manifests itself. It's not that we can simply love an idea. Krishna has to reveal himself to us in order for our love to develop. And he reveals himself to us according to the care and attention we're putting into our service, according to how Krishna wants us to serve. So the idea we're going to love Krishna, no, we can't love Krishna unless Krishna reveals himself to us, and then we can love him, because that's spontaneous.
True, but we can make a choice to surrender to Krishna. I mean, at some point, we do...
That's our choice.
And I really like your point, just continuing with it, that it's not that we just become attracted to Krishna. Krishna becomes attracted to the devotee as well. When that, as described in the Bhagavatam, when there is a fragrance of pure devotional service, that is, when the devotee becomes more interested in pleasing Krishna than anything else, there's a fragrance. And that fragrance is the only thing that attracts Krishna. And when he actually becomes attracted to the devotee, and Atashri Krishna Namadina Bhaved Grayam Indriye Sevam Mukhi Hijivado Swayameva Spuratyada, he reveals himself. But it's a relationship also. Archita Prabhu?
Thank you for the speed chanting. Really appreciated that.
The what?
The speed chanting. Speed chanting. We went through so many verses. Very nice. Thank you. You made a very encouraging point in your presentation about Krishna accepting only the good and not being concerned about the bad. Remember saying that?
I do.
Okay. So how do you balance that with yasya hamanugrinami?
Okay. Yasya hamanugrinami harishe taddhanam shanai. When Krishna becomes extremely pleased with someone, then he takes away everything. Compared to what? Takes the good and leaves the bad. Well, it's an individual process, and Krishna is the Suhrit. He's the very best friend within the heart. He knows what's good for us, and therefore he winnows out all those things that are impediments on our path. That's what Hari means. He takes away all our misery. So for each person in a particular circumstance, he knows exactly what they need, and he administers the medicine accordingly. In fact, in the Tate Anukampam Susumikshamano verse, the commentary by Sridhar Swami, which is mentioned in that purport, Sridhar Swami says that even after a devotee surrenders and begins in earnest the process of devotional service, there may be a residual of material desires there. Some last vestige of desire to enjoy the material world. And Krishna knows exactly what it is. And therefore he gives miseries which are custom made to counteract those last vestiges of desire. And that's mercy. Because it may be difficult for the devotee to give them up. Jata shado makatasu nirvina sarvakarmasu veda dukha makankamams. This last line is the most important, and now I can't remember it. Something pyanishvara. But anyway, the essence of it is pyanishvara. So the verse says, Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, and he says that the devotee who has awakened faith in me, jata shrado matkatasu, he's engaged in hearing my pastimes, nirvina sarvakarmasu, he's completely disgusted with all material activities, veda dukat makan kamam, he knows that all material desires lead to misery, but pyanishvara, he doesn't have what's the last? Parityage pyanishvara. Parityage, he can't, pyanishvara, he doesn't have the power to give it up still. So then Krishna goes on. Can you say the last four lines? Tato bhajetamam prita shradhalur drajanishchaya jushamanash tatankaman dukodarkams jagharayan. So he says, go on with your devotional service and be happy that you're serving me. And at the same time, gharayan, you can be, what is the death? Repent. Repent that you can't give it up. That will burn up the last vestiges. And anyway, we should depend on Krishna. And there's a way in which Krishna is the one who removes the anartas and the material desires from within our heart. So we have to pray. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur compares all the various kinds of anartas that we may harbor within our heart. And I like that word harbor, because like harboring a fugitive, not a good idea. Or if a cobra comes in your house and you say, ah, it's no big deal, just let him hang out. You know, those material desires, we can't let them just loiter, or we can't harbor them. That's even worse, harboring a criminal. Doesn't that sound horrible? You harbored a criminal. So it's these material desires, like harboring a criminal, and we have to pray that they'll be expunged from my heart. And so I was saying, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that each one of the demons that appeared in Krishna Lila is an archetype of a particular anarta that one might have in the material world. And that Krishna came and killed those demons. They're formidable and very difficult for anyone else to deal with, but Krishna killed them easily. One hand, threw them over his head, swung them around, all kinds of ways that Krishna is... And so we should pray to Krishna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, and he'll help us. Shrinvatam swakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyan taksto hibhadrani vidunoti suritsitam. He'll help us from within the heart take out those particular material desires. Was there a last point? Yes. Okay. And then Amarendra Prabhu.
Could you help to understand the difference between healthy and unhealthy repentance?
Well, you can tell by the result. If you become morose and you lose self-esteem, and what is it?
Dysfunctional.
Dysfunctional. If you become dysfunctional by that, then it is unhealthy. If you become enthused by it, because you realize as you're repenting that there's a remedy and that there's... a recourse for that, because you go on in devotional service. Param vidayate Shri Krishna Sankirtana. The devotee who's developing faith is characterized by this, that he or she believes, Param vidayate Shri Krishna Sankirtana. If I just take shelter of Sankirtan, then all victory will be there for me. I can't do it now. I'm not at that point yet. But as Prabhupada says in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 31st verse, ye me matam idam nityam, etc. And in the purport, he says that in the beginning, one may not be able to fully discharge one's duties in devotional service. But if one doesn't resent the principle, that is, that he can't fully do it yet, and goes on faithfully in devotional service, he'll overcome that. So I'm saying that knowing that, having that knowledge, that even though I'm repenting for my past and so forth, there's a sort of exhilaration at the same time, because he or she knows, tate anukampam susumiksha mano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Whatever is coming is being burned off. Whatever miseries is coming are coming. I'm gradually coming to this point where Krishna will accept my devotional service. So if it's dysfunctional, it's material. If it makes you dysfunctional, and if you become exhilarated by that repentance, knowing that you're properly situated, it is spiritual. Amarendra Prabhu?
Yeah, I'd like to go back to the $100 bill for a minute. let's say it's $1 million bill and somebody picks it up and they go out and they buy a big house and big screen TVs and season tickets to a championship basketball team and cars, and they think they're really happy and enjoying it and they really like the results of all that material possessions that they've acquired, and they think they're happy. As an experienced preacher, how do you convince them that they would have been happier giving that back to the person who it really belonged to?
Well, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, people who are materially inclined should not be discouraged, but encouraged in the spirit of devotion. So everyone has a starting point. Even in the Vedic Shastra, there's a way in which people are encouraged to eat meat. But they say, you know, eat it under certain regulations, a dark moon night, offer it to Kali, and tell the goat that you're, you know, I'm killing you, you can kill me later, and so forth. But, you know, such a person doesn't have the adhikari yet to engage in something else. So for each individual person, we have to see what is the most I can give the person right now. Ishvare tara dineshu balisheshu dvisatsucha prema maitri kripopeksha yakaroti samadhyamaha. This is the preacher is always thinking like this, seeing the four categories. One, there's the Supreme Lord. He's giving his whole heart and love. To the devotees, he's making appropriate friendship. For those who are balisheshu, means there's some opening. There's some innocence in them. He pours it as much mercy as possible. And what's possible? I mean, some people won't take. We were just out on Sankirtan the other day. We were at Venice Beach, otherwise known as hell. And we were distributing books going up and down. And so I met this one guy. He was really nice. He was a Christian. And he bought a book, for Bhagavad Gita, for $5. And I said, okay, now I'm going to give you this prayer. And it's a prayer in Sanskrit. And you just chant this, wakes up love for God in your heart. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. What's prayer mean? You know, it's like I explain it to him three times. Okay, you ready? No. Come on, let's just try it. No. And, you know, no. And other people just say it. Okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. What's the difference? I mean, some people that they're, you can't push them, you know, into something. You have to lead them in, and at an appropriate time, you give them what they can take, as much as they can take. This I call, you know, picking the right fruits. If you go out on Sankirtan, for instance, and you're trying to convince everybody, you're going to have a hard time. But if you go out and you look for the right fruits, the people who are already ready, and then you pour in as much as you can appropriately, then you have a much better time of it. And so I'm not sure if I answered your question. Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. Om Tat Sat. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Residents of New Dwarka Ki Jai, visitors to New Dwarka Ki Jai, Gopremanande Haribol!
I hope I didn't...